Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on Authentic News right here on RBN Live, this first day of November 2023, simulcasting on Speak Free Radio. Lots of developments, some of them moving in a positive direction. We have the Israeli military bombing Gaza's largest refugee camp, and the whole world is aware of it. Elon Musk did a huge benefit to the Palestinians by making Starlink available. Israelis thought people would only be reading about it, where words do not have the emotional impact of the images. So here we have, for example, Truth Out. Now, that's a Democrat publication. Israeli military bombs Gaza's largest refugee camp, killing at least 50. Israeli military bombed Gaza's largest refugee camp on Tuesday, killing dozens, if not hundreds, of Palestinians. The Jabalia refugee camp in northern Gaza has been completely destroyed, Gaza's interior ministry has reported. An IDF spokesman has confirmed that the strike was orchestrated by Israeli forces. The death count, of course, varies depending on the source, likely not be known for days or longer. Gaza's interior minister allowed 400 people are dead or wounded. The director of the nearby Indonesian hospital, which is at full capacity, and the Palestinian health ministry reported in the immediate wake of the attack that 50 were killed, with dozens of bodies recovered so far. But, of course, hundreds are buried beneath the rubble. The fact is, a refugee camp poses no threat to Israel. A refugee camp is going to undertake incursions. A refugee camp isn't armed to the teeth, meaning the brutality, the viciousness, the sadistic character of the IDF is exposed for the world to see. Middle East Eye. Israel-Palestine Live. Israeli massacre in refugee camp for a second day in a row. Airstrikes on Gaza count amount to war crimes, says UN Rights Body. Airstrikes in the Jabalia refugee camp in Gaza could amount to war crimes, UN Human Rights Office warned on Wednesday. Writing on X, formerly Twitter, the body said Israel had carried out disproportionate attacks on the camp, which is said were aimed at Hamas officials. Here's the UN Human Rights tweeting, Gaza, given the high number of civilian casualties and the scale of destruction following Israeli airstrikes and Jabalia refugee camp, we have serious concerns that these are disproportionate attacks that could amount to war crimes. Well, there's no question about it. You understand the concept of war crimes. There's a photograph of the Israeli attacks on these refugee camps as illustrations. Meanwhile, South Front has been publishing one video after another using Starlink as its access route. On October 31st, Israeli Defense Forces continued airstrikes throughout the Gaza Strip. The number of victims of the Israeli bombing has reached 8,525, the Ministry of Health of the Palestinian enclave reported. Among the dead are, get this, 3,542 children and 2,887 women. How did they pose a threat to the state of Israel or the IDF? This is monstrous. And I say, check out South Front for more information about it. Meanwhile, Al Jazeera. Israel-Hamas war update. Dozens killed in Jabalia camp, Gaza officials say. Photos all over the place. Palestinians have taken to the street of central Nablus in the occupied West Bank to protest against the Israeli air attack and Jabalia refugee camp. Humanitarian groups said the bombing should be a wake-up call. The world leaders to secure a ceasefire. No, I say, to punish Israel for its crimes against humanity, which are simply overwhelming. Now, here's Mike Adams talking about it.
Welcome to the Halloween edition of Brightstown Broadcast News. Mike Adams here joining you on October 31st, 2023. Thank you for joining me. Halloween, of course, is the holiday recognized in the United States where people look like they're dying and they walk around like zombies. In other words, every day in America, yeah, it's pretty much every day is Halloween day. if you take a good hard look at people. I'm kidding. All right. We've got some really major news that as of the moment I'm recording this, no one else has put the pieces of this puzzle together. Let me give it to you in summary format, and then we'll go into the details. We've got a lot to cover today. And in fact, my whole original plan of what this was going to be has been smashed to bits by the following news. So it came out today, a leaked document that's been verified from the Israeli Ministry of Intelligence, came out and said that there has been a plan in place of a forced displacement of all Gaza civilians to push them to Egypt so that Israel could basically steal Gaza, the entire Gaza Strip, for, quote, greater Israel. Now, those of you who have been monitoring some of the history or learning about the history of Israel, you will notice that ever since 1948, Israel gets into wars with Palestinians and then always ends up taking more land, starting with the Nakba in 1948, displacing or murdering, three quarters of a million Palestinians were displaced at that time. And I don't know how many were murdered at that time, but, you know, you go through all the wars, the Six-Day War and on, all the different conflicts, and Israel just keeps taking more and more and more and more land, and so-called Palestine keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Well, this idea of standing down on October 7th and allowing Hamas to carry out these terrorist attacks against Israeli civilians was designed, we now know, and I've been reporting this, it was designed to get the Israeli people and the American people to emotionally support the extermination of Gaza and the complete displacement of the 2.3 million Palestinians who live there. So that, again, so that Israel could just steal the land and make it greater Israel. That plan has come out. That's big news all by itself, but that's not even the biggest news or the whole picture. The bigger story is that as of right now, Netanyahu's plan has been thwarted because he can't do it without the support of the United States. And so this is the biggest news in the world right now, that Israel's plan to completely exterminate the Palestinians, to wipe them away, and to seize Gaza for greater Israel, that plan has failed. And it failed even before the main ground assault got underway. And this means that Netanyahu is finished. This means that we are now at the beginning stages of what's going to become an internal Israeli revolution of sorts against Netanyahu, who represents what is considered to be the far right version of the Israeli government. There's going to be an internal revolt in Israel because of, well, the failures of the IDF on October 7th, but it's going to come out probably that Netanyahu, you know, ordered the stand down. It was all allowed. But even if that doesn't come out, the failures of Netanyahu to manage this situation and the destruction of Israel's reputation on the world stage because Israel refused to negotiate, Israel refused to recognize a ceasefire, Israel refused to allow humanitarian aid into the civilians, and Israel's military bombed hospitals. They bombed a Turkish hospital in just the last day. They bombed a Greek hospital. They bombed, you know, places of worship, mosques, clinics, water treatment facilities, and residential buildings. The reputation of Israel, as Scott Ritter explained yesterday, has been demolished worldwide, even in the eyes of people like myself, who previous to this had nothing whatsoever against Israel. I was a fan of Israel. I mean, some of my friends are Israelis, like the people I train with in Krav Maga, for example. But what I've learned since October 7th, watching Israel's actions and its lack of integrity and its just relentless killing of civilians and women and children and cancer patients getting bombed in the hospital, it has altered my view of Israel forever. It's going to take a long time for Israel to regain its reputation. And what's happening is that the internal people in Israel are now seeing Netanyahu not as the savior of Israel, not as the man who will follow the biblical scripture and deliver Israel to victory, but rather Netanyahu is increasingly seen as the man that brought Israel to its defeat, the man that has destroyed Israel's reputation in the eyes of the Western world, from which Israel receives billions of dollars in funding and, of course, military support and so on. And this reputation damage that has been done to Israel by Netanyahu, this will begin to trickle through the electorate in America as the voters start to pressure their members of Congress, stop funding Israel, right? You're going to hear that more and more and more. And you're going to see more calls by American voters on the left and the right denouncing any candidates that support additional military funding for Israel, given that Israel is using those military funds to carry out what is clearly genocide against the Palestinian people. And now it's all been confirmed in Israel's own documents. This was an ethnic cleansing operation. Their own Ministry of Defense says so.
I think that's quite brilliant and extremely lucid. And I dare say even Donald Trump is behind the public on this issue. I've been a huge fan. I have faulted him on a number of counts, including the warp speed, moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, declaring Golan Heights to be a part of Israel, taking away U.S. funding for the U.N. organization to assist Palestinian refugees. Those were all wrong. But if in the face of this horrific carnage, Donald Trump continues to stand for Israel, he is going to lose support in a big way. And that includes me. He's got to come around. I've been hoping against hope that he would acknowledge the mistake involved with the vax. We all know the evidence now. He hasn't done it yet. I'm hoping he might do it still. Here's more from Bitchute, the true face of Israel. October 6th, Israel declared war on Gaza in response to an obviously staged false flag. But this is not a war. A war takes two armies. This is ethnic cleansing. Israel is one of the most powerful and well-funded militaries in the world. Gaza, no military, no artillery, no tanks, no RVs, no air force, no body armor, no helmets, no heavy weapon, no fuel, no electricity. 2.3 million walled in and besieged civilians. 50% of population 14 years old or younger, 20 days of bombing raid, entire residential suburbs destroyed, over 8,000 now confirmed dead, including over 3,500 children, entire family lines walked out. The greatest act of genocide and cowardice in all of modern history. Israel's war on children, like shooting fish in a barrel. Absolutely outrageous. This is Israeli ISIS, comparing Israel to ISIS, which is so right on so many counts. And here they're showing massive bombing taking place. Unreal. And I say, comparing with ISIS is very appropriate. ISIS was a terrorist army to murder, rape, and pillage in Syria to put pressure on Bashar al-Assad, the democratically elected president of Syria. But it was not organic. It wasn't a natural phenomenon. It didn't originate in Syria. It originated in the United States. John Brennan, director of CIA, Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, Barack Obama, president, created ISIS over the objection of Michael Flynn, the director of the National Defense Institute. And because he was opposed to it, John Brennan suggested to Barack Obama he should fire Flynn, which Obama obligingly did. This is absolutely disgusting. Here's a story now from antiwar.com. Israel told the U.S. mass civilian casualties were acceptable price of Gaza campaign. During conversation with Israeli officials, it became clear to the Biden admin that Israel believed mass civilian casualties were an acceptable price of the bombing campaign in Gaza, the New York Times reported on Monday. Now, bear in mind, The New York Times is a complete Zionist outlet. We got 100 execs, all of whom are dual U.S. Israeli citizens. For them to be acknowledging this is striking and significant. The Times report said, Israeli officials refer to U.S. and allied bombing campaigns in Germany and Japan during World War II that killed hundreds of thousands of civilians. The reference includes the U.S. firebombing of Japanese cities, which killed around 100,000 civilians in Tokyo in one night in 1945, as well as dropping atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. What they're leaving out is those were war crimes. Actually, a whole lot of international laws were passed, the Geneva Convention included, because these were war crimes committed by the Allies to help to ensure it didn't happen again. So Israel is simply taking for granted that they're an exception. And that's because they think they're superior to all other races. The other races only exist to serve the Jew. These are the Talmudic Jews. These are the Zionist Jews. These are the supremacist Jews. These are not the very worthy and moral Jews against genocide who conducted a mass protest in Grand Central Station. I would guess there were over 1,000 there. Those are good people. The officials conducting the bombing, however, are not. Israel planned for mass slaughter in Gaza, and the growing child death toll have not impacted U.S. support. The Time report focused on how the Biden administration is paying lip service to the idea of limiting civilian casualties, but acknowledge they're not telling Israel what to do, only asking questions. According to Gaza's health ministry, at least 8,500 Palestinians have been killed in Gaza since Israel unleashed its bombing campaign after the October 7th Hamas attack. The total includes over 3,500 children. Now get this. When asked if the U.S. will put limits on Israel's use of U.S.-provided weapons in light of the child casualties, Pentagon spokeswoman Sabrina Singh said, no, we're not putting any limits on how Israel used weapons provided to them. That is up to the Israeli Defense Forces, and now they're going to conduct their operation. We're not putting any constraints on that. How grotesque. That makes us complicit. That makes us accomplices to genocide. Biden is accused of Palestinians of lying about the death toll, but Gaza's health ministry is considered reliable. The numbers reflect a massive number of bombs Israel has dropped on the enclave. UN officials told the Wall Street Journal they believe the death toll is likely much higher since it does include people still buried under the rubble. How awful is that? Meanwhile, and I regard this as very positive, again from the South Front, Yemen is launching military operations against Israel. Now, you got to understand the Houthis in Yemen have been fighting for years and years. They're battle-hardened. They have weapons provided by Iran that are very sophisticated. Yemen is launching a military operation against Israel. Yahya Sira, a representative of the Yemen Ansar Allah movement, claimed during his briefing on October 31st. The military operation is aimed at supporting the oppressed Palestinian people and their militant resistance. That's a good thing. I believe Turkey will not be far behind. Meanwhile, and this is a really wonderful article coming from the Children's Health Defense, more after the break. It's all right.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help! When I was younger, so much younger than today. Anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, days I'm gone. Not so self-assured. Now I find a gentle mind and open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being around.
Brian Shilhavy, the editor of Health Impact News, has a very comprehensive article. I encourage everyone to read. World War III imminent. Opposition both inside the U.S. and outside the U.S. grows as children continue to be massacred in Palestinian genocide. He shows anti-war protesters disrupting a Senate hearing, holding their hands up, covered with either red paint or blood, the significance of which is obvious. He writes, as I reported on Saturday, opposition to the ongoing genocide in Gaza is mounting here in the U.S. as Jews shut down New York City Grand Central Station Friday night during rush hour, calling for a ceasefire. Here's a headline. Thousands of Jewish protesters shut down New York City Grand Central Station with hundreds of Jews arrested for supporting peace and ceasefire in Gaza. Today, protesters disrupted a Senate committee hearing in Washington, D.C. on sending aid to Israel, playing hands that aren't painted in blood red, many of them being arrested. There's much more. Outside the U.S., opposition to the massacre of thousands of children, the ongoing genocide against the Palestinian people is rapidly rising. That opposition is coming from the Muslim nations, where a rare show of solidarity. Shia Muslims are united with Sunni Muslims. In addition to the Muslim Day, China and Russia have issued very stern warnings in the past few days. And the U.S. military, where 68% of the service members are reportedly obese and unfit for combat, take on the entire world. Earlier today, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu stated in a news conference he was rejecting calls for a ceasefire and the Israeli military is saying that their operations are going to expand and intensify. Right. You cannot kill enough Palestinians fast enough. Meanwhile, we have events taking place in Ukraine. South front again, fire in Donetsk. Ukrainian terrorists attack civilians with cluster munitions. The Kiev regime continues terror of the civilian population in the Donbass. On the evening of October 31st, Ukrainian forces launched a cruel attack aimed to kill civilians in the city of Donetsk. The city and its outskirts came under severe attack during the day. On the evening, the armed forces of Ukraine struck at the railway station in the Burdanov district of Donetsk. According to preliminary reports, the attack was carried out with MLRS. As a result, a large fire broke out in the area. An echelon of fuel tanks caught fire. Much more. Ron Paul. Here's a wonderful truth teller. Antiwar.com. Ron Paul says it's over. Zelensky hammered in Time magazine. What a difference a year makes. Just a year ago, Time magazine named Ukrainian President Zelensky as Man of the Year and raised his status practically to a saint. This week's Time cover could not be more of a contrast. Have the elites finally thrown Project Ukrainian Zelensky under the bus? Now that a shiny new object of Middle East war has come around, check it out. Time magazine is very much an expression of establishment sentiment. Going over is rather like Walter Cronkite coming out against the Vietnam War, which led Lyndon Johnson to infer that if he lost Walter, he had lost the people. Here we have from the Libertarian Institute, NATO chief. Gaza war cannot interfere with support for Ukraine. The civilian leader of the North Atlantic Alliance condemned the Hamas attack on Israel, but emphasized that support for Tel Aviv must not encroach on aid for Ukraine. Secretary Jen Stoltenberg went on to warn Iran and Hezbollah against attacking Israel as Tel Aviv relentlessly bombs Gaza. And I say to hell with him, to hell with NATO. They are doing us no good whatsoever. Moreover, and this would be reported by RT, Maiden Snipers, the founding myth of new Ukraine has been proven to be a lie. Why is the West silent? Earlier this month, a district court in Kiev announced its finding a case that dragged on since 2015, handing down sentences to fine former officers of the long-dissolved Berkut police unit. That police group became internationally known during the 2013-14 protests, which culminated with the violent Maidan, charged with involvement in the shooting of anti-government protesters by snipers at the center of the Ukrainian capital on February 20, 2014. Four of the accused, three of them in absentia, were found guilty and sent to term between 5 years and life. One was acquitted.
Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC. Summersville, Missouri. 417-932-6419.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Well, before I came down on MSNBC, that was Christopher Wray testifying to Congress about the threat of terrorist attacks right here in the United States. But of course, we've long known the threat posed by masses, millions of illegals crossing our border without any verification of their identity, their background, their intent whatsoever, giving them a red carpet, giving them money, giving them food, giving them tickets to ride. Here's Tony Saruga tweeting, "This is supposed to be attacked by the left, the Marxists, the trolls, Antifa, BLM, even the intelligence community. I'm a 39-year-old intelligence analyst. I and my team's clients include the United States government, British government, Israeli government, Saudi Arabian government, NEOM, Microsoft, Dell Computers, GE, IBM, General Motors, Scott Fetzer Corporation, Managing Dutch East India Company, Archives for UNESCO, Procter & Gamble, Raytheon, MasterCard, Walmart, Northrop Grumman, Berkshire Hathaway, General Dynamics, BAE Systems, Standard Oil, a.k.a. ExxonMobil, Saudi Aramco et al. Intelligence is never perfect. It's a messy, messy business. Rarely can I guarantee the intelligence. Many times, just releasing it in the wild can stop a false flag or genuine attack. But with as close to 100% confidence as possible, there will be multiple terrorist attacks in the U.S. Attacks will come in waves for the next 14 months. 100 to 1,000 of CCP saboteurs trained to attack our electrical grid, poison our water supply, destroy our railways and main highway arteries. Additionally, at least 1 million, possibly 2 million, terrorists are already here from Palestine, Yemen, Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Qatar, Lebanon, Iran, Somalia, etc., etc. They are extremely well-funded. And get this. The Biden admin working with the UN has given them debt cards that are reloaded every month. Below are links to 3 articles on Hezbollah Unit 910, a sleeper cell already in the U.S., awaiting the green light from Persia to launch attacks. This is just one group of hundreds here to destroy America. Todd Bensman, led counterterrorism intelligence for the Texas Department of Public Safety Intelligence and Counterterrorism Division and its multi-agency fusion center. Read his reports. I have absolutely no doubt that he's got it right. He's got it 100% right. You got to understand, Biden isn't doing anything about it because the Biden admin is in on it. Meanwhile, here's Blaze about the U.S. Commerce Department. False exportation of civilian firearms and ammunition, but what's it really about? The Commerce Department has declared a 90-day pause on the export of most civilian firearms and ammo under the pretense that will reduce the risk of firearms being diverted to entities or activities that promote regional instability, violate human rights, or fuel criminal activities. But what is it really about? They say they're doing this because they want to make sure that guns that are being sold by manufacturing gun stars around the world don't fall into the wrong hands, says Glenn Beck. But we're sending billions of dollars worth of ammo and guns to Ukraine without anyone tracking any of it. Stu Burgoyne finds it interesting. The left has just decided that they're the pro-war people. But they don't want us to be able to protect ourselves against lawless mobs that go through city after city. And mark my words, when those terrorist attacks start coming, the gangs in the cities are going to wreak havoc all over the urban centers and are going to spread out to the suburbs. And eventually they're going to make their way to wherever you may reside. Mark my words. If you're not capable of defending yourself, you won't have anyone to come and help you out. Remember, the Democrats still believe in their heart of hearts defunding the police. If there were ever a more treacherous slogan for America, that's it. And yet it was heartedly, enthusiastically endorsed by Nancy Pelosi and the rest of the miscreants who are traitors to the United States and describe themselves as U.S.-loving supporters. They are none of the above. Meanwhile, DeSantis blasts Biden, favors illegals over Israeli evacuees in a fiery speech delivered at the Heritage Foundation. Republican Governor Ron DeSantis took aim at President Joe Biden and his admin, accusing him of prioritizing illegal immigrants over American citizens. There isn't any doubt about it. DeSantis criticized the Biden admin for charging American citizens for their evacuation from Israel while simultaneously providing free transportation to illegal immigrants across the United States. This is a good point. DeSantis highlighted the stark contrast between the treatment of American citizens fleeing a war zone and that of illegal immigrants. He lamented the fact that those entering the country illegally are provided with hotel accommodation and transportation at no cost, while American citizens are billed for their evacuation and efforts. It isn't right, he emphatically declared. Well, on that issue, I could hardly agree with him more. He's 100% correct. Meanwhile, Information Liberation reports, AIPAC, that's the American-Israeli Political Action Committee, always gets mad when I put America first. Representative Thomas Massie boldly stands up to the Israeli lobby. I applaud him for that. Congressman Thomas Massie of Kentucky boldly stood up to the Israeli lobby Tuesday, telling the American-Israeli, yes, they call themselves a Public Affairs Committee for public relation purposes, He will not be voting for their 14 plus billion shakedown of American taxpayers and will not be intimidated by their smear campaigns. Massey announced Sunday he will not be voting for the House $14.5 billion foreign aid package for Israel, which he noted would come on top of the $3.8 billion Congress already passed for the year. Here's Thomas Massey tweeting. This week, the House will vote on $14.5 billion foreign aid package for Israel in addition to the $3.8 billion already passed. I will be a no vote. Less than one-third of the 49,000 people who responded to my poll today support this additional funding. We simply can't afford it. So how many support pine to Ukraine and Israel? 15%. Only Israel, 17. Only Ukraine, 5. Neither country, 63%. And I conjecture that's true across the entirety of the United States. Meanwhile, and this, in my opinion, is completely outrageous. This is from the conservative underground news. Robert Kennedy Jr. just revealed how Democrat pro-criminal policy put his life in jeopardy. Crime is soaring in Democrat-controlled cities across the country. George Soros-backed prosecutors are implementing soft-on-crime, woke, extremist policies that put criminals right back on the streets. And RFK Jr. just revealed how Democrat pro-criminal policy put his life in jeopardy. Independent presidential candidate Robert Kennedy Jr.'s father and uncle were both assassinated for their political views. Former President JFK was assassinated in Texas in 1963. And in 1968, former Attorney General and Democrat candidate RFK Sr. was shot by Sirhan Sirhan at the Ambassador in Los Angeles, California, pronounced dead the following day. Well, I got news for you. Sirhan didn't shoot him. Sirhan, of course, was a Palestinian. This was an Israeli op. He was a Palestinian. It's just like on 9/11, someone called in to the news to say, while the Twin Towers were being destroyed, that the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine took responsibility. They immediately switched to footage of Palestinians rejoicing as though it were contemporary. It was archival footage from the distant past, some political or religious occasion when they had reason to celebrate. The Palestinians were just as slack-jawed and stunned by what was happening in New York and elsewhere in America that day as the rest of the world. Here, in this case, it was a security guard who was accompanying RFK Jr., who had a handgun of the same make and model as that Sirhan used, where he pumped out a whole lot of rounds to distract while the security guard shot Bobby behind the right ear from an inch and a half and kept shooting as he fell, hitting his body two more times, one round of which merely passed through his clothing. I and others have studied this extensively. A medical examiner, Thomas Noguchi of Los Angeles, was in fact fired for contradicting the police account, where the police account said that it had been Sirhan who killed him, and the medical examiner explained it wasn't even possible because Bobby had been shot behind the right ear from an inch and a half. You go figure. The LA cops wanted their Kennedy just as the Dallas cops got theirs. Meanwhile, House Speaker has messaged for disgusting liberal media. Since he was elected new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson had been attacked by liberals and members of the media because of his Christian faith. On Tuesday, during an interview with former White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany, the Louisiana congressman responded to the critics, saying their attacks don't bother him. Here's Kayleigh McEnany tweeting about it. The liberal media's attack House Speaker Mike Johnson for his Christian faith absurdly and grossly, making comparison to the main shooter, the Taliban in Iran. My interview with Speaker Johnson about his faith. Here's from Fox. Media wasn't always so friendly to someone with a Judeo-Christian worldview, and in your case, some of the things that have been said, Politico interviewed an historian about your worldview, and this historian said you're a Christian nationalist. It comes from that Christian supremacy. She said to Johnson, absolutely stunning. Meanwhile, Jen Psaki, who's a very nasty gal, says his views on policy are essentially what you'd expect from a religious fundamentalist. They're more divisive than divine. What do you say about that? Look, here are entire industries that are built to take down public leaders, effective political leaders like me. I'm not surprised by that. I mean, it comes with a territory. It doesn't bother me at all. I just wish they would get to know me, continued adding. I'm not trying to establish Christianity as a national religion or something. That's not what this is all about. I dare say these attacks are obviously clear violation of First Amendment, which includes not only the freedom of the press and freedom of speech, but freedom of religion. Meanwhile, Mitch McConnell is issuing a warning to Senate Democrats on Tuesday. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell warned Senate Democrats about issuing subpoenas to two prominent billionaires because of their friendly ties to conservative members of the Supreme Court. Mitch McConnell said such a move would be totally inappropriate. Here's Alec Bolton tweeting. GOP leader Mitch McConnell said Dick Durbin planned to subpoena conservative donors Harlan Crow and Robin Arkley II, and Federalist Society leader Leonard Leo is totally inappropriate. But he's targeting here a private citizen with no legislative purpose. I don't always agree with Mitch McConnell, but it's good that the Democrats are so desperate. Maybe they're fearful that their efforts to destroy Trump on the basis of indictments aren't going to play out, because it looked very much as though they're not going to play out. Meanwhile, we have Jamal Bowman's fire alarm excuse up in smoke and new video reveal. Got this. This is that member of the Democrats in the House of Representatives pulled an alarm to defeat a vote that was taking place there. You might liken this to the activities of some January 6th activist. But in fact, he's been getting a free ride. He's been skating for an outrageous action. Representative Jamal Bowman's recent fire alarm fiasco has been overshadowed by the chaotic drama unfolded by House Republicans. While Republicans were quick to censure or expel Bowman, their internal mayhem stole the spotlight from his shameful act. Bowman, who claimed he pulled the fire alarm by mistake, now faces new video evidence contradicting his story. In the footage shared on social media, Bowman is seen removing emergency exit signs and blowing the fire alarm without making any effort to open the doors. It's clear his initial explanation was nothing but a lie. Though Bowman has pled guilty to a misdemeanor, it seems unlikely he'll face any serious consequences. A fine may be the extent of his punishment. The Democrats, now busy defending Hamas, seem content to let this incident fade away. It's frustrating to see someone who commits a blatant crime like Bowman can simply brush it off and move on. If he can't even read emergency exit signs, how can we trust his judgment on important matters? A good point with which I agree. Meanwhile, and this just breaks my heart, U.S. statue melted in secret meeting. FixThisNation.com. Robert E. Lee's statue, where Lee, of course, was a Confederate general who led the South, had previously been located in Charlottesville, Virginia, melted down in secret during a ceremony. The statue that led to the Unite the Right rally in Virginia had reportedly been melted during the ceremony in a way that ensured the safety of all those who participated. According to a report in the Washington Post, the statue had been melting using a 2,250-degree furnace. The material is going to be transformed into a new piece of art that will be placed in a public area. You got to understand, this is grotesque. Those statues were created as forms of reconciliation between the North and the South as a way of mending fences, of recognizing leaders on both sides were acting in good faith in what they regarded to be the best interest of the nation. Meanwhile, that's hardly the only statue being taken down. You got to bear in mind, defunding the police, weakening law enforcement,
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A 1-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Mentioned it is for me that this Robert E. Lee statue was melted down. It was a classic, a work of art, a symbol of reconciliation between the North and the South. And it was based upon a fabricated false flag event. There'd been a protest that was intended to be peaceful. It was permitted against the removal of the statue. The melting down hadn't even arisen at that point in time. Where the governor of Virginia at the time, Mary McAuliffe, worked in cooperation with the mayor of Charlottesville to have the local police stand down to allow the state police to channel the peaceful protesters into a violent confrontation with Antifa and BLM members supported by George Soros who'd been brought in frequently on this very same bus. And then in downtown Charlottesville, they had a staged automobile event. Listen, I did so much research on this at the time. There were two different Dodge Challengers involved. One had a racing stripe sunroof, the other didn't. Two different drivers. The young man who was diagnosed as schizophrenic with thick glasses, about 20 years of age, who was accused. The actual driver, like a 30-something Army veteran who commanded a battalion of reservists in Ohio, was the actual driver. I mean, I got the photograph to prove everything I'm telling you. Two or even three different takes, one where the car rams in behind two other vehicles where the drivers have left. They were parked in advance to create a collision so they wouldn't suffer a whiplash. And when he backed out with a skill that would befit a NASCAR driver. I was dumbfounded. But then there was another take where there were no vehicles in the vicinity whatsoever, and yet a third published on the cover of the New York Times where there was a black Toyota pickup truck, and you see stuntmen flying through the air. I called this all out at the time. I had the video to prove it. I sent it to every member of the Department of History at the University of Virginia because I thought historians would care about the history of Charlottesville and what it meant. I had served there on the faculty twice, 1977-78 as a visiting associate professor. Then 1981, I was there in January as a visiting full professor. I care profoundly about Mr. Jefferson University, evidently more than they do. I receive exactly one response from a chaired professor of history who said she was embarrassed that I'd ever been there. You got to understand, I've documented all this. Look at my How to Spot a False Flag Part 1, How to Spot a False Flag Part 2. Charlottesville, Parkland, Sandy Hook, Las Vegas, they're all blown apart there. The faculty at the University of Virginia don't give a damn. And if you want to see how extensive is all this business about taking down the statues, which is an exemplification of cultural Marxism, defund the police, allow criminals out on the street, encourage lawlessness, open the parks, it's all a part and parcel. Check out Patricia Safran on my blog. We'll be right back, and we'll take your calls.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.